Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And I'd like to welcome back Dr. Art Markman. And I'm really pleased to bring him back. When the guests come back, well, you know they're good. And Art has quickly become one of my favorite. And one of the reasons I like to have him back on the program is just so I get to read his introduction, which is just, it's really cool. Annabelle Worsham, Centennial Professor of Psychology and Marketing at the University of Texas in Austin. Okay, that's all the time we have, ladies and gentlemen. No, I'm kidding. But I love what Art does. He's founding director of a program for human dimensions of organizations, and he is a radio host himself, and he is working as a professor, and it's really interesting, his studies and his area of expertise, which we're going to be delving into. He's written the book Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others, smartthinkingbook.com. smartthinkingbook.com is the website, and we're gonna get into habits and how to, you know, leverage those good ones and maybe work on some of the bad ones, especially as it relates to, guess what, your money. So I'm really pleased to have Art back. Art, welcome to the program.
David, it is great to be back. Good to be talking to you again.
Excellent. My pleasure. And I think you're very quickly climbing up the list to most requested, most repeated guests. So not long now, you'll get your, we'll be sending out your little decoder ring with a box of Cracker Jacks.
Looking forward to it. I'll post a picture of it on Instagram.
Okay. All right. Excellent. So I want to dive right in because, you know, when you and I talk, we can spend hours and we've only got 30 minutes. So habits. Habits let us do things kind of semi-automatically or autonomously, and we kind of go through. You know, I jumped on my Elliptigo, which is that bicycle that looks like you're on an elliptical machine, and when I first started riding it, it was a little awkward, but now I'm in, quote-unquote, gotten used to it, and it's now become a habit, and I've kind of gotten into the rhythm, so I can focus more on the cars and the people around me and stores and things like that that I might drive by instead of where exactly my foot goes on the pedal. So it's become easier, and so that's a really nice benefit of that repetitive action where my mind kind of just takes care of it in the background, and I can focus on other things.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic, and those bikes are cool. You know, I think a lot of us, we get into this discussion of habits primarily when we're worried that we're doing something wrong. And we start thinking, you know, gosh, if we didn't have any habits at all, if we could just be more mindful of everything we're doing, somehow life would be better. And the fact is, as your example highlights, if we really had to pay attention to every small thing we're doing, life would actually be miserable. And the brain does such a good job of compiling away most of those routines into things we don't have to think about so that you can hop on a new bicycle or play. I play the saxophone and you know, so much of the low-level stuff now about getting a sound out of the instrument is just a habit for me, so I don't even have to be thinking about that at all, and I can focus on what I'm trying to play. Habits, I think, are 98-99% wonderful, and we spend a lot of time worrying about that 1%. But we have to put all that discussion on a background of how wonderful it is to have great habits.
Absolutely, and how wonderful, how amazing is our brain that it can do that? And I can really hardly even with a brain that works fairly well most of the time, I can hardly imagine how just amazing that really is when you start unraveling how our minds are constructed and they. You know, these living organs that work, you know, like computers and can run in the background, and you just are not aware of it. And I walked over to the radio studio here in my office, Art, and I didn't think about where my feet were being placed. And really, my brain already knows how many steps it is, so I'm not even really thinking of it. So yeah, you're right. This is such a wonderful subject, especially as it relates to the world we live in. And we, you know, do we dwell on all those wonderful things that are happening in the world and how, you know, how many days we've gone without, you know, a major problem? No, we're focused on when there's a problem, and we are fixated on that, and we're all over the negativity. And of course, that's why negativity sells in media. And I mean, it is all so related. So let's do this. Let's talk about, because everybody out there who's listening, you know, if they are honest with themselves, and we all need to be, everybody's got a bad habit or two. What if we got one we know that we need to do something about? I mean, some of us know we have a bad habit. We're like, nah, it's a bad habit, but I want to keep it. I like it. but let's say we've got one we want to fix. Is there a quote-unquote life hack for that where you can develop a strategy to, and you probably cover this in your book in more detail, but, you know, a tip on how to work on that habit that you know you need to fix?
Yeah, obviously we could go on about this all day, but let's pick just two quick things to talk about.
Okay, good.
You know, I think the very first thing to do is to recognize that so many of the habits that you have are actually driven by the environment that you're in. And so it's really important if you're trying to hack those habits, the ones that are going wrong, that you do something to change the environment to make the habitual behavior harder to perform.
Good.
And I think, you know, it's just amazing how quickly that works. I think we've talked before about the fact that one of my terrible habits years ago was sitting down and eating way too much ice cream in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out you can't eat an ice cream that's not in your freezer. So, you know, very small change in the environment and a big change in life. So
you have to move it. You have to get.
Yeah.
If somebody out there listening has a problem with you use ice cream. Let's say that somebody's got a problem with maybe just drinking a little too much. It's not that they, you know, go on a binge and they drink for 5 days and nobody sees them, but just that maybe they just are in a habit of just drinking a little too much. Well, then stopping at the bar on the way home. Don't have liquor in the house, or, you know, don't have what tempts you. And you know, or if you've, you know, other things people can imagine, just don't put yourself in that position.
Yeah. Listen, you know, those people who may overspend, you know, turn off all the one-click shopping.
Yes.
Right?
Make it an extra step or two.
I mean, you know, give require yourself to actually do a little bit of work to make a purchase. You know, we've reduced the transaction cost to making purchases to the point where just a click and suddenly a new item is winging its way to you. And so that's the second piece. So one part is change up that environment. Then the second thing is, you know, for those things where you do have a habit, now you have to fight against. Habits are making things mindless, which means that when you have a habit you're trying to change, you now need to be a little bit more mindful of what you're doing. You need to be paying attention to it. So one of the things you can do is to try and create opportunities to pause in there before you actually engage in the action. So, for example, let's think about this shopping piece for a second. If you've got one-click shopping set up on one of your favorite shopping sites, well, shut that off and then set a rule for yourself that you're going to put something in your shopping cart that you see online that you're excited about. And unless it's something that's absolutely necessary for your life, you know, it's a medication you have to order right away or something like that, for every other purchase, tell yourself, here's my plan. I'm going to put the thing in my shopping cart, and I'm going to just leave it there for 24 hours. Because if you forget to buy it, it probably wasn't that important.
Well, that's well put. Is there also another strategy that kind of goes along with this? And I don't know the exact terminology, which is why I'm asking you, is something about substitution where, you know, for example, you're the ice cream eating at night, you're going through the whole half gallon. I'm not saying you would do that, Art, but I've heard people do that. And instead of that, maybe then you've got a box of lollipops or something, or some pretzels or something else that you can substitute just to break that habit.
Yeah, so I think you raise a really important point. The thing about habits is they're actually memories. So you have these memory systems that are buried deep inside the brain, and those brain areas deep down don't have good access to all that great storytelling apparatus on the outside of the brain, and that's why all of this stuff happens without you really being aware of it. But the thing about memories is you can't stop yourself from remembering something. And so when you're in the situation in which you normally perform the habit, that habit is going to come out as a memory and just engage you to do something. And so you rather than trying to erase that memory, which doesn't really work, by creating a substitution and replacing one behavior with another, what you're doing is overwriting that situation.
Okay, I like that.
Right?
It's like on the computer, you overwrite we don't have to wipe the hard drive, we just need to overwrite some of the data to break the pattern.
That's right. So essentially what we're doing is now taking that environment where you used to do something you don't want to do, and now we're reassociating that environment with a new behavior. So
that's
that
excellent.
Over time, you start pulling out memories of the more desirable thing to do.
That's so cool. We can program ourselves.
Absolutely.
I love it. If you're just joining us, Dr. Art Markman, and the book is, no coincidence, Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others. Of course, you can get that on all the online websites. Make sure you leave that one on one-click purchasing. That's okay. And then it's smartthinkingbook.com, smartthinkingbook.com. Quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back with Dr. Markman.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Hello, this is David Holland. You already know from listening to this program that I'm very careful about my financial advice. It will come as no surprise then that I feel the same way about my other recommendations. If you love traditional, authentic Greek food as much as I do, then there's just one place to go, the Greek Town Taverna at 150 North Nova Road in Ormond Beach. It's just around the corner from my office, so you'll see me there for lunch at least a couple times a week. They've got stuffed grape leaves, gyros, lamb chops, octopus, and baklava. You can find all of these wonderful homemade Greek favorites every day of the week. They offer a wide variety of wine and beer to pair with your meal as well. Visit GreekTownTaverna.com or call 386-944-9526 for more information. I'll see you there. Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi, I'm Tony, chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now, and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440 for more information.
And we are back, Dr. Art Markman, and one more time, Annabelle Worsham, Centennial Professor of Psychology and Marketing at the University of Texas in Austin, and his book, Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others, smartthinkingbook.com. smartthinkingbook.com. So, Art, I want to jump over, you know, you've got me really, I love your thought process and the strategy, because you know what, that's what we all are, that's what everybody wants. You know, when somebody's flipping through TV looking for something, maybe help them with, all of us are always looking for strategies to deal with whatever's going on in our lives. And, you know, on the internet, clicking through, and I love your resources you have with your book, and they can go to the website, of course. And so I love your thinking on this, and because people want to work on it. And kind of along the same lines, you know, people have a lot of hopes and fears. And as you know, a lot of those hopes and fears always come back to often financial security and people's place in life, where they feel they've been successful or not, where they think they'll be in the future. Have they achieved what they should have? You know, expectations. And all of that ties back to money.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it really does. And so, you know, when people, you know, look at what's happening in the world, whatever your background, whatever your, you know, your station in life, your personal experiences, your political and other belief systems, all of those things, you know, you look at where things are and you go, big majority of Americans are, I think, concerned about where we are on either side, left, right, middle.
Yeah. No, there's, you know, it's fascinating. There's a lot of anger out there.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you're seeing that in the fact that a lot of the people who are supporters of both Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, who are on very different sides ideologically of, in this country, they're being supported by a lot of people who are feeling a lot of anger at the system right now. And that anger comes from two places that I think are important to understand. The first is that there's a concept in psychology that I think is really important. It's called locus of control.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of locus of control is if you have an internal locus of control, it means that you believe you are the author of your destiny. Hmm. The actions you take are going to play out in the world, and you are going to control where you go.
I like that one.
If you have an extra, it's a great feeling to have when you feel like you are the one who's in the driver's seat.
Self-determining.
Absolutely. Yeah. The thing is, there's also the possibility to end up with an external locus of control, which means that you believe that there are forces in the world of some kind that are actually having the lion's share of the influence about what's happening to you in your life. And so if you feel like other forces are controlling what's happening to you, then you're not as happy a camper. You begin to, particularly if those forces are driving you in directions that you don't want to be going.
Good point.
So, you know, if you feel like, you know what, I'm working hard to support my family.
Right.
I have, you know, done everything I'm supposed to do. I pay my taxes. I'm working hard, and I'm still not seeing the level of success that I'd like to see because of factors that have nothing to do with me, well, that gives you that external locus of control, that feeling that no matter what you do, you're not going to be able to influence the outcome. And that tends to create a lot of frustration. Frustration is a feeling you get that has a lot of energy associated with it, where you're feeling like there's nothing I can do, and I'm energized about that. That energy's got to go somewhere, and one of the places it goes most often is into that feeling of anger.
Yeah.
And so part of what we're seeing right now in politics, and I think it's reflected in money as well,
sure,
is this frustration that boils into anger because people feel like the deck is stacked against them in the sense that there are forces out of their control that are influencing their level of success. And I want to say one other thing too, which is there's a second factor at work here, which is people are, I think, very focused on losses right now. They are focused on things that they may lose or have lost. And what that does is to create a motivational state that's called avoidance.
Yes.
We talked about this a little bit before in previous visits on the show. The thing about avoidance is it focuses you on all of the potential losses that there are around you. It makes the world look more dangerous to you. It makes it look less hopeful, like there are fewer opportunities for good outcomes, and it can make people feel more hopeless, but it can also affect the way that you think about your investment.
And it affects your decision making, and it makes you less rational in your approach.
That's right. That's right. And it makes you so worried about potential losses, for example, that you get very risk averse, which, you know, there are times to be risk averse. I will freely admit, one of my kids is just about to graduate from college. I still have to pay for the college education of one of my other kids. I am fairly risk averse in a lot of my investments right now because I need to have some money available to pay for my kids' education in the near future.
Right.
That kind of risk aversion, you know, it seems to me that makes sense. But I think that there are a lot of other people, for example, who don't have those kinds of looming expenses in the next year or two, are trying to be more secure in their retirement, things like that, where taking on a little bit more risk is warranted. And yet, you can't bring yourself to do it because all you can see around you are the potential losses.
So well put. I want to get into more about the investing and then other things like the national debt and how that's weighing on people. If you're just joining us, Dr. Art Markman is our guest, and we're going to grab one more quick break and come back. You can get Dr. Markman's book, and you can check out the website, smartthinkingbook.com. Smart Change is the name of the book. Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others. Work on those other people too, not just yourself. Stay right there. We'll be right back after this break.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support the Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Just ask a stockbroker or insurance agent how you should invest your money, and what do you think they would say? Unfortunately, if an advisor is limited in what he can offer, that advisor is often understandably biased. You need to ask questions like what products and services they can and cannot offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This PSA has been brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back. Dr. Art Markman on the line. Smart Change is the name of the book. Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others. SmartThinkingBook.com. You know, I mentioned the last part of the book title there, Art, about helping other people with theirs. Maybe sometimes people need a little, you know, a little encouragement from somebody else. Part of what you talk about in your book is how to help other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny, right? You know, we often recognize how hard it is to change our own behavior. And then when we want to help somebody else change their behavior, the first thing we do is just think, well, gosh, if I could just think the right thing to tell them,
yeah,
you know, that would change their behavior. And I think we have to recognize everybody else is going through the same struggles that we are. And if we're going to have to change our environment to change our behavior, we've got to help other people to change their environment to change their behaviors as well. All those same principles apply.
Amen to that. Well, I want to come back and talk about, you know, we talked about this locus of control and how that can be so stressful and create, you know, then lead to anger and a lot of energy and, you know, just a lot of negativity. That bunker mentality and becoming very risk averse. And one of the things that I recognize, and I'm sure you do too, when you have all that going on, you know, there are people out there that of course know that is happening. Just as we're talking about it, there are people that know that then either prey on that or market based on that and bombard people with a constant message of, yes, you know, by the way, have we told you that the national debt is $18 trillion? You know, have we told you that? The world's going to end tomorrow. Buy our product or service today. So that further inflames all of this, and then just it feeds on itself.
Oh, that's absolutely right. You know, and I think one of the things we have to remember is, and this gets to another important issue, which relates to all this, which is trust.
Mm.
Because when you begin to get this external locus of control, so now you're frustrated because the world is conspiring in a way that is taking away your own authority to act and to have your actions lead to outcomes. Now part of what happens is you begin to think, well, how do I regain some control?
Yeah.
And you begin to think, well, you know what? The problem is I can't trust the institutions around me to do the right thing. Now here's the problem. As you well know, the economy is complicated.
Sure.
We are in a global economy. Well, there's, you know, 7 billion plus people in the world. There's all these moving parts, and nobody can wrap their head around all of it. And in order for the global economy to function effectively, each of us specializes a little bit, so we have to turn over a certain amount of trust to all kinds of people around us to do things for us. Some of them are just in the ordinary sphere of our lives. We have to trust that someone else is going to grow our food properly, that they're going to keep us supplied with clean water and things like that. And then in the monetary sphere, we have to trust that there are advisors out there who are going to give us good advice. And we have to trust that, that large-scale institutions like governments are really doing their job properly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's hard for each of us to become expert in every little facet of the economy. I mean, it would take all your time, and you still wouldn't become an expert in everything. So, you know, is the national debt too big? Or, you know, and well, I'm not sure that I'm in a position to really be able to evaluate that as an individual.
Right.
At some point, I have to trust that the folks who are in charge of this know what they're doing well enough that they're going to steer the ship in the direction that it should go. And if I begin to agitate for things to reduce the debt, I had better be sure that the outcome of that is going to be an appropriate thing. Right. So, you know, I recently one of the political candidates was talking about the prospect of trying to default on some of the national debt because somehow that would reduce the debt. Well, mm-hmm. you know, is that a good idea? Is that,
right,
you know, should I mistrust the system well enough to kind of walk away from that system? That's a very dangerous game to play.
Absolutely.
But if I don't trust any of the institutions around me because I have this external locus of control, I'm going to be willing to contemplate all kinds of wild ideas.
Well, and this really circles back nice and neatly right back to the habit formation that if you talked about removing yourself from the situation, if all you do all day long is listen or read or watch the media, which is not really interested in providing, generally speaking, you know, accurate factual information. Much of it comes with an agenda today. And if that is the case, then you can really put yourself in a spot where, you know, you are constantly bombarded with the same message that reinforces all of your fears and stress and this agitation that you talk about.
Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely right. It's so easy to live in an echo chamber these days to put yourself in a position where all you hear is primarily what you'd like to hear, what fits with your existing set of beliefs. I think it's really important to listen to things that you completely disagree with on a regular basis, just to calibrate yourself a little bit, to understand why you believe what you believe, why it is that right-thinking people could believe something very different from what you believe, and to try and draw information from lots of different places, particularly if you're going to be in a situation where you're about to make a very significant decision for mm-hmm. yourself, where that decision might be, I'm going to invest my money in a particular
right,
way,
right.
But that decision might also be, I'm about to step into a voting booth and make a decision that could potentially affect the next, you know, the next generation of people in this country.
So well put. Dr. Art Markman, ladies and gentlemen, you see why he's our quickly becoming number one returning guest for us, Dr. Art Markman, and the book Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others, smartthinkingbook.com. Art, we'll get you back soon. Appreciate having you on.
Looking forward to it. It's always fun to talk to you, David.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.